In the words of Vector from Despicable Me, oh yeah.
You guys look good.
Thank you. It takes looking good and white.
So without further ado, we've got an intro. It's that time, guys. We're so stoked. This is Chlorality, a podcast about beautiful music and beautiful people. We're excited for our next guest here. This is somebody with a face for TV, but a passion for radio. You might find our next guest practicing yoga in a studio, in a club before a set, or maybe leading a session for sleepless ravers on a cruise ship. Her resiliency knows no bounds, as evidenced by her fandom of the New York Jets. This vinyl vixen started making her own radio mixtapes at the age of 4. And whether she's DJing main stages or bar mitzvahs, you can be sure a good time is in store. An incredible mother to 2 daughters and 3 cats. We're so excited to welcome to the show the biggest Incubus fan in dance music, the one and only Gina Turner.
I'm crying.
Thank you.
Hi guys, I'm so happy to be here.
Thank you so much for being here. Thank you for driving 1 hour to our apartment to record on our couch. This is so awesome.
I'm really happy to be out of my house and away from my kids for a little bit. But also with great people.
No, definitely. I do have other snacks besides popcorn.
You're a wonderful host.
I really want to make the most of this time together.
Well, we've got a jam-packed show for the people. We're going to start with Drop of the Week, and then we're going to get right into the questions that we have for Gina. Gina, what would your kiddos pick for Drop of the Week if it was up to them?
Okay, they're really into K-pop Demon Hunters at the moment.
Oh, yeah.
So that Golden song, shout out to Evelina and Alma. I love you. I miss you, even though I said I'm happy to get away from you for a little bit. Yeah, K-pop Demon Hunters. But that being said, Alma like loves dance music. So she loves like Pump Up the Jam. She loves like I Like to Move It by Reel to Reel. She really loves like whenever there's beats, she like gets real funky. She was also conceived at a festival, so that helps.
Dirty Bird,
yeah,
right?
Dirty Bird Camp in 2022.
Shout out to Club Von Strew.
Shout out to the conception.
Yeah. Shout out to Mary Droppins. This is my remix for Mary Droppins, just saying.
Oh, yeah. This is your girl.
Yeah, like super, I love her. She's such a vibe and she likes spirituality and like beats and wubs, so.
Part of the friendship.
Girl
yes.
Crew. Oh my gosh, she DJ'd my yoga class on friendship. That was like totally surreal for me. It was such a cool set. It was like a decompression set. Super love.
Did you get to go to that, Mikey?
Nope, I sure didn't. And I would love to hear about it, but let's save that for a little bit farther in the episode. First, we are going to go. It's time for Drop of the Week, DOTW 88.9 FM, broadcasting live from the dance floor, the station where the beats don't sleep and the drops keep coming. Gina, what's your Drop of the Week for us?
88 point. Oh, okay. My Drop of the Week? I have to pick one?
Oh, we picked it.
No. We picked it for you.
Oh. I was like, wait, what?
Moody, would you like to tee this up?
I'll tee it up. This is Gina's Drop of the Week. It's called Cigarettes by Gina Turner and Artsy Joke. Play it, babe.
88.9. I wonder where that could be from.
Yeah, we arbitrarily made that up.
88.9 is WERS, where I was a radio host and got my, like, built my chops up as a DJ in Boston.
It's totally by coincidence that we chose that number.
Sick.
Go for coffee with your friends. They are just as bad as
I love Artsy Choke. Shout out Artsy Choke.
I'm so done.
So my kids want me to make a clean version of this because there's the F word, there's the S word, there's all these curses, and my daughter's like, you need to make a clean version. So maybe I will.
I mean, you've gotten so big now that you have to do that.
It's really a request of my 11-year-old. She's like, Mom, She's like, Mom, I can't listen to this song with you. I'm like, yes, you can.
Well, I'm down for the clean version because I love this version. I'm sure every version would be amazing. So we'll send that one.
Well, this track is dope.
It's dodo.
Thank you. I always wanted to do like pop punk, but I always envisioned myself being like the lead singer of a pop punk band. And I asked Artichoke Anna for some vocals at drum and bass tempo, and I feel like she delivered something that I never expected, where it kind of feels like it's like in the rock vibe of drum and bass. It feels like pop punk. It feels like rocky. So I feel like I'm living out my pop punk dream.
That's Frenchie's dream too.
I love pop punk. I like love Paramore. I love Fallout Boy. Like also like Damone is a girl band based out of Boston that's really vibey too.
Do you like Riot Girl punk?
I do. I love like everything that like Nala's doing, obviously. And I love like my girl Louisa, who does a lot of like screaming and like rock star stuff. So
she's so funny and cool.
Yeah, she's the best. She's the best.
Mikey got to do an interview with Louisa.
I know. It was so good. I love her.
I know. I just ambushed her after y'all's set.
So we DJ'd like the first set, one of the first sets of Ship. And I like forgot to bring my USBs. Like to stage. And so I'm like,
bro, that's not even like headphones. That's like,
they're gone. And so like, I had to make new USBs like right there. And I DJ'd off her sticks for like the first few songs. And I just grabbed my computer because I couldn't find them. It was so funny. And then I found them later, obviously.
That's hilarious.
I mean, I hear Ship is one hilarious thing after another.
It was great. You know what it was? There were multiple USB sticks like on my counter. Like my friend Matt, shout out Moms, he's a really great drum and bass producer, had like his USBs that looked like mine. So when I went, I was like, oh my God, those aren't my sticks. And I had a whole freak out, and then I found them later.
Whoopsie.
They were like in my purse, by the way. They were not in my DJ bag.
I just want to say, I have met like a few DJs who have the exact same USB as me. So we need to start like putting labels on them.
That's what I did. Actually, that Ship, I got like these little stickers, let's say hot, when you get hot food and they put the hot. And so now those are on my USB sticks. Hot beats. I'm gonna eat a piece of popcorn. Is that controversial?
Yeah, please.
All right. Well, let's keep cooking. Frenchie, you wanna hop into this question?
I got a question for you, Gina Turner. Actually, wait, before you do that question, I have to ask you a question. That's not the first question. Gina Turner. Turner is your married name?
Oh my gosh, this is the best question. Gina Turner was actually my grandmother's name. So her last name, her married last name was Turner when she married my grandfather, Eddie Turner. So my mom's maiden name was Turner. After I, you know, decided to be a DJ, at first I was DJ Gina G for a little bit. And then I was like, wait a minute, Gina Turner is like the best DJ name. I'm a Turner and it's like easy to remember. How do I explain it? So I had my father's last name, which was Forgotch, which was really hard for people to spell, pronounce, all the things. It's like a Hungarian last name. Shout out to the word woodships, because that's what Forgotch means. So I was married. I was married to my ex-husband. And then when we got a divorce, instead of going back to my maiden name, which was Forgotch, I took my mother's last name. So I am legally Gina Turner. I've been Gina Turner. Like even if in numerology, like if you use a certain name or like a vibration for a certain amount of time, you end up embodying that. So like I've been Gina Turner for a minute, but like I'm officially Gina Turner as of that divorce. So shout out to my grandmother. She's on my arm.
That's a great silver lining.
Yeah, it was great. I've always had like a hard time with my original last name. Like nobody could pronounce it right. It's spelt weird, you know. It's just a different last name. So then taking Turner just felt really right because it was my DJ name already.
Congrats on new last name that's easy to spell.
Yeah, that happened in like 2017.
That was my first question, because Gina Turner is an iconic name. I'm sure people are like, Gina Turner, Tina Turner. Is that why you chose that DJ name? Have you gotten that before?
Always. My whole entire career. And I always say, no, it's my grandmother's name.
So, Gina, we love asking our guests about their transformative music moments. And for you, it actually started super young. You were making mixtapes at the age of 4,
recording off Hot 97 with blank cassette tapes and a mic. Do you remember what those early mixtape sounded like?
Oh my gosh, this is such a good question. I don't, but I remember a specific memory of like recording before it was called reggaeton. It was called Spanish reggae. And I remember like recording that when it hit the radio because I was so excited about that. And my mom saved all the tapes. I kind of want to listen to them. I like got the little microphone and I was like, this is the Gina show. Welcome to the Gina show. But it was a Hot 97. So it was definitely a lot of hip hop. But back in the day, Hot 97 played house. So I bet you there were some house jams on there.
Which is a big deal because you would have been, that would have been like 1988.
I was born in 1984. So yes, 1988. Great math. But I mean, it definitely developed as I got older, you know, and I always made mixtapes. In fact, my fiance always says, like, dude, my girlfriend makes playlists for a living. I still do it. I still make playlists for like my family members, you know, on a basic level. You know what I mean? Like, here's an iTunes or Spotify playlist or whatever.
I'm just thinking of like in 1988, like house music wasn't like well known. It probably was in New York, but like where I grew up in Florida,
no way.
88, no one knew what house music was. So the fact that you had cassette tapes that had house music on it in 88 and you were 4 years old, like that. Like,
it's really cool.
I would record off the radio onto cassettes in like middle school. So I was around like 10 when I was doing it. Yeah. But like thinking about doing that at four, like that's bonkers.
I started early and apparently like there are all these baby videos of me like by the boombox as like a 2 year old, like literally like rocking in front of the speaker, like I'm riding the rails at a rave. like totally. I mean, that exists. I've always loved music. I always wanted to be like a radio chick. Like I never saw myself as a nightclub DJ. But then again, I'm like such a Leo. So like I'm not shocked that I'm like, hey, look, I'm the center of attention as a career.
Oh my gosh. Happy Leo season. When's your birthday?
My birthday is July 31st. It's actually Virgo season right
now. Oh, that's true. It is technically now Virgo season.
Yes. Yeah. I'm also a Virgo moon. So I'm also really like practical and analytic about my emotions. I really fuck with Virgo season as well.
Fabulous.
Yeah.
Back to back.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, I love it. Get organized, everybody. This is actually coming out on my favorite Virgos, one of my favorite Virgos, let's be clear. Birthdays, Tim, shout out to Tim. This is coming out September 3rd and it's his birthday, so happy birthday.
And Tim's your partner.
Yes, he is. And he's like totally into like radio stuff too, so it's really cool. We're like really into all like the spiritual things and I introduced him into the rave world and he introduces me into like weird conspiracy world. I'm like, here are some beats. He's like, did you know that this happened? And this is why the pyramids are where they are.
I love it.
Oh, it's awesome.
Growing up, you were a K-Rock girly.
100%.
You've seen Incubus 6 times.
Oh.
7 now.
No, 12.
Oh, wow. It's bad. Excuse the moi.
I'm like totally an Incubus super fan. And then when I lived in LA and worked at American Apparel, this was a really long time ago, I became friends with Mike, the guitarist, and then Louisa was dating their videographer, like Incubus's videographer for like 5 years or something like that, or maybe less. Don't quote me on that either. Then we all just became friends. And so now I go to like their concerts whenever they're in town, if I can. That's why it's like a big high number now. I went pregnant. I've gone with babies and kids. It's like a whole thing.
That's incredible. I have never seen them, but they're one of my favorite rock bands.
They're amazing.
Make Yourself was such a transformative album for me in like seventh grade when that came out. And The Warmth.
The Warmth is my favorite song.
Yes, it's my favorite song.
Can we make whale sounds in honor of The Warmth?
Those who don't know, at the beginning of The Warmth, there are pre-recorded sounds from whales.
Yes.
And it's such a beautiful way to start off a sad but optimistic song.
It's literally, okay, wait, we got to go back to Make Yourself for a minute as an album. Because same, Make Yourself has been there for me, like during such incredible times when I've lost friends. I like listened to that album start to finish. When I was going through my divorce to my ex-husband, I would like sing Drive to my then like 3-year-old, like whatever tomorrow brings, I'll be there. I'm going to get really choked up talking about it. Like, honestly, Make Yourself has always been there for me in like such a deep way. And I'm a start to finish.
Oh, same.
Album with that one.
And I can't say that about every album that they have, but that album, 1,000%.
100%. You see that? Oh, wait, you have never seen them live. So they just recently toured that record for the anniversary of it. And they did the whole album start to finish in order. So I went to the New York show and the Boston show for the Make Yourself album anniversary. I love that you love the warmth. Mind blown.
It's like a B-side track, but it's like the best track on the album.
It's the best track of all time. Also, Science, I really, really like that record too. And Science has a lot of like drum and bass influences. Like if you listen to it, like I'm surprised I haven't remixed or made a bootleg of an Incubus track, but at the same time, like I love the original so much, you know, I just don't want to mess with anything.
I mean, if it means a lot to you though.
Yeah, yeah. True.
You should give it a shot.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a great album though. And it kind of like stands alone in their catalog of music.
I love it. What's interesting about Make Yourself is it's like the record that like catapulted them into like fame, because Drive was so massive. But the entirety of that album is just so incredible. Like I've watched like football highlights, shout out to the New York Jets, with Make Yourself, like the track Make Yourself. So like these guys are colliding into each other and like it's like I don't know. So Incubus is the best.
We could do a whole episode.
I have a podcast called the Divine Movement Podcast that I haven't recorded in ages, but we did a 420 episode and we were playing songs that like are our 420 songs. And I'm like, the entire Make Yourself album. And Tim's like, all right, we got to play the entire album now, start to finish. And I'm like, I don't think we can do that. He's like, why? Joe Rogan has like 4-hour podcasts. And I'm like, yeah, but Joe, a little different.
It's been a learning curve for us too, but what music gets flagged and what is okay.
Yeah, word. I once played a Beyonce track in the middle of one of my sets that I didn't realize was going to get released as like an official Apple Music mix. And then I was so excited. I'm like, this is so great. I'm like, yes, this is such a big deal. And they're like, nope, Beyonce's on it. Beyonce and Michael Jackson are not allowed. And then there's a happy ending to this story. And then Beyonce released her house record. She's like, no, DJs have to play my song. So she released that like kibosh or whatever it's called on that. And then it came out.
Release the kibosh, everybody.
Release it.
Well, we're going to release our next kibosh. It's E-Mood's drop of the week.
Let's go. I've chosen this one because I saw a clip of you playing it. I believe this is the right version. So let's just play it, and we'll see if it's the right version.
Oh, I know this song. Shout out to Miha. This was Miha's track in the middle of our back-to-back, but we love it. We love it. So this was the version. This was definitely the version.
Yeah, yeah. So this is Ghost Voices, the Netsky bootleg by Virtual Self.
Virtual Self is an alias of Porter Robinson. I saw Virtual Self at 3 a.m. at Bonnaroo in 2018, having no idea that I was watching Porter, and it melted my brain. And I liked it better than any Porter Robinson set I've ever seen. So shout out Virtual Self.
I definitely would prefer this vibe over like Porter Robinson's newest kind of stuff.
I love this.
Eating popcorn. Popcorn break.
Yeah, that Miha, Gina Turner, drum and bass back to back in Friendship went kind of crazy, I gotta say.
Okay. Yeah, so actually the back to back that I was talking about that this clip is from was me and her at Off the Grid Camp Out in Apple Valley, California, which is like a mini Burning Man. It's so good, but you're like 30 minutes from a Target if you need to, you know, get some snacks. Andy. You know what I'm saying? You're not like really in the middle of nowhere, but you're 30 minutes in the desert. And so we play back to back at Off the Grid. But also, yes, the friendship back to back was insane because all the stages closed down. And then so everybody piled in the theater because it was raining outside. So all the outdoor stages were closed. So everyone piled into where we were. And it was just surreal because it was like the entire boat in this, like, I mean, you were there, right?
I was on the rail holding up a caution when wet sign. If you see in any of the videos, that was me and my boy.
That was insane. And our goal was like, listen, they're only giving us an hour to play, which we were like low key offended. We're like, we need more time. There's two of us. Yeah. And so we were like, you don't want like an hour and a half. And so we're like, fine, we're just going to play as many tracks as we can in 60 minutes. And we fucking did. We like really were mixing fast and it was just like unreal. We played, shout out to the guy I was mentioning earlier, Mums. We played like four of his tracks and he was just like exploding on the stage. He's like, I can't believe this. We were like doing like Mums medleys.
Luckily with the genre of drum and bass, mixing it quickly like that, I mean, obviously, technically it's hard, but like there's enough breaks in the tracks where you can like do it quickly, like within like 2 minutes.
Totally, totally. And there were so many opportunities for like double drops that Amber and I, Mia and I, like totally like took advantage of because that's like we're always like just like, ah. So it was great. It was great.
Can't confirm.
Shout out to her.
Well, speaking of Mia, this is a good time to talk about Never Be Alone.
Aw.
It's something that has become your baby with Mia?
Yeah. Amber and I found ourselves in very similar places in our career. So with my first kid, I really was eager to like get DJing again ASAP, right? So when I had my second kid, I was like, wait, I really want to just like take a step back and just like breastfeed my kid. Normalize breastfeeding, shout out.
Air guns, normalize breastfeeding.
That's the clip for anyway, social media right there. Normalize breastfeeding.
And it's a really important hashtag, just saying. So anyway, I was really wanting to kind of just like slow down and not get back into the world of being a DJ so quickly. So I really took that time. And then Amber like was like dropped by her agent like out of nowhere, like kind of just ghosted after like selling like sold out shows, like so it really didn't make sense. And then I was like, oh, I feel like I need to start over because I just took like a solid year off, like from like not releasing music that much and, you know, just being with my baby. And so we kind of found each other in a very similar place where we felt like we both needed to start over. And she's like, I'm going to relaunch my label. I'm like, cool, I'll help you. And then we also started, because she was without an agent, we compiled all of our contracts collectively for the last 10 years of working and started like cold emailing promoters and festivals like together. And we're like, we're going to get through this together. It was just really amazing. So Never Be Alone, though, is a community-driven record label. The whole premise was Mia was like, yo, send me your rejected demos. I want to give them a shot. I was like, yo, I have so many rejected demos for you. And so basically I sent her a bunch. She's like, these are fire. So we released Lower Ground. It was like the third release with the relaunch of Never Be Alone. And then we started this like voting process with our group chat. We have like a giant group chat that anybody's allowed to join. Shout out to the Never Be Alone group chat. And basically, there's also an artist group chat with like every person that's ever released on Never Be Alone. And so we go through all the demos and then we allow people to vote. And it's like this whole thing. And she also gives like 90% of the royalties to the artists, which is like unheard of.
So sick.
Yeah, that's a whole nother conversation with like Spotify paying us more, like that needs to happen. But like instead of us getting, you know, $30, maybe you'll get like 100, you know what I'm saying? Like for like a year, if depending on how well the track does. So anyway, long and short, that has been like a passion project with me and her and Artsy Choke. Actually, she does a lot of the admin and there's so many amazing artists on that record label. Go to neverbealone.com. and you'll see all the music. You can even get some free downloads, y'all.
Let's go. Fun fact, you're the second Never Be Alone artist we've interviewed on the pod.
Oh, who's the other one?
Dr. Greco.
Oh, sick. He's great. He's great.
Oh, shout out to Doc.
So this is my track, NBA, Never Be Alone.
This is actually the second time we've played this on our podcast.
I love that. Thank you. You'll pick up the phone.
All right, Gina, let's take it back to when you were doing parties at Banana Split.
Oh, my gosh.
And at the same time, you were the assistant manager at Turntable Lab.
Los Angeles.
Yeah, Los Angeles. So today we have new ravers who are getting into the scene all the time, who by no fault of their own don't know a lot about some of these past eras. I've actually heard Gary Richards talk about this topic, how he really misses some of the culture of some of these older eras. And obviously, Gary has a few years on you. But my question is, you were at the forefront of DJ culture in LA on both sides of it there. If you could bottle one thing from that era, if you could capture the essence of one thing that you really loved about it, that maybe we've lost today, what would it be?
This is a really emo question for me because I would bottle up DJ AM and I wish he was still here because there was just such a quality to his DJing where it felt like he I think he said this, he could turn any rave into a bar mitzvah in like 5 seconds flat. I know that's a really specific question. I'm like asking like the genie to bring someone back from the dead. So I know that's not allowed in Aladdin, but like.
But DJ AM was the culture. So this is a perfect answer. Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. Yeah. And the other thing that was really fucking cool was the no phone thing. Like we took pictures on our fucking digital cameras, if we even remembered to bring them, because we also had like the cobra snake just taking pictures and then like seeing. For anyone that doesn't know, so the Cobra Snake was like this awesome party photo website. Again, we didn't all have these awesome camera phones back then. We had like, what were those Sidekick things?
Oh, yeah.
With the terrible camera, or people brought digital cameras. But like, I didn't want to bring a digital camera out to dance, you know? So we had websites like the Cobra Snake or Shadow Scene or Ronnie's Photo Booth that gave you all the party photos, and if you made it, you were so pumped, and that would go on your MySpace profile. Also, what the fuck, Tom? Where are my MySpace photos? Because I had fantastic ones.
They like archived everything.
I don't see anything. Though.
No,
like,
I know. I don't see any of my stuff either.
Yeah, it's fucked up. I had really good ones.
Yeah, it is. I completely agree. I have to believe that data still exists somewhere.
Yes.
Tom, if you're listening, you owe our girl Gina Turner a personal call.
I literally downloaded those and I would upload the most awesome party photos and they're just gone.
I mean, I remember seeing like photos from like raves happening in Texas of all places, but like Candy Kids, like full on rave fits at like outlaw raves. And I was like, I'm going to be that person.
So I wasn't really introduced to rave culture until I lived in Los Angeles. Because like in New York, apparently, by the way, there's some awesome raves that were happening back in the day in Nyack, which is like right around where I live. But when I grew up in New York, I would go to like Sound Factory, which was turned into Pasha. There was this place called Sullivan Room to hear house music that was so good. I don't even know if that's still open. Is it? Question mark. But like, I didn't do the rave thing until I hit LA. And I was really lucky to be able to throw some amazing after hours in like warehouses too, with Louisa and Mike B and the Acid Girls. Gosh, a lot of people came through those. That was really, really fun.
It's so sick. Like, I feel like we could interview you for like 5 hours because we understand how many awesome like stories you have.
Oh, well, I'll come back.
Well, we're going to start a series with just Gina Turner.
I'm down.
So you mentioned DJ AM. You were mentored by him and kind of Steve Aoki too, doing DMACC Tuesdays.
Yes.
What's one lesson or story from that time that like really stuck with you?
Okay. So again, you're going to make me get choked up with this one. So it was interesting because I was kind of like the token house DJ, like, because I like to play house music. I grew up on house music. I inherited my mom's disco vinyl. I like was going to Sound Factory. I was going to Shelter. I was like listening to house music. And it was interesting because I ended up like opening for AM or Steve Aoki or, you know, just hanging out at Dim Mac Tuesday because my boyfriend at the time was the resident DJ there. I learned how to read a room, I feel like, from AM in a different way. Like, he just always knew like what to play. Like, I can't explain it. If you watch the DJ AM doc yet to like really kind of get that vibe. But I don't know if there's a lesson, but there was one thing that Adam said to me once at Dim Mac Tuesdays. Definitely, I was like in my early 20s. I was partying. That's all I'm going to say. And he looks at me and he's like, don't be that girl in the corner too fucked up to have fun. And because he was like sober for like a million years. So I don't know. That always stuck with me in a different way because he like really took me under his wing like a little sister. Like we would like chat about that kind of stuff. So that kind of shaped me in a way to be like more aware.
I mean, he was spinning vinyl too, right?
No, this time it was Serato. It was the Serato days. So Banana Split and Cinespace, Dim Mac Tuesdays, that was when Serato hit the fucking scene and people were like, yeah. We did carry vinyl transition records when you had to like transition between one DJ that was also on Serato and another DJ that was also on Serato. And we would have to play one vinyl. And I would always bring like four or five, but my most common transition record was Blue Monday by New Order. Cause I felt like it was like such like a good, like, okay, I have time. People are going to vibe to this song. I'll plug in my RCAs. I can plug my fucking computer, like all the things. Anyway.
Frenchie and I used to go to Pyramid Club a lot back in the day. And of course it was open in the 80s and they still we're just having 80s nights like every night. So we heard a lot of New Order there and it always got people going on the dance floor for sure.
Best. It's the best.
Well, that's sick. I had seen videos of AM like on like vinyl or actually maybe it was just plates now that I'm thinking about it.
Control Records. Yeah. He was like at the forefront of like helping design Serato and fine tune it. And so it was really cool because I was working at this record store where like everybody would go to get their, you know, needles or their control records or buy some vinyl or their gear. And so I had like information from Adam as things were developing and like as I was working in the store. So it was actually really cool. I worked there with Blue Gems, rest in peace, Blue Gems. Gas Lamp Killer, Luisa also worked with me. This guy, Mestizo, so many people worked there. Like, and they were all DJs. It was great. And we didn't open till like noon. So like everybody could work as a DJ and like still roll in because it was like our demographic that was coming in. So we were like open late and like stayed open late. So it was cool.
It's such a cool intersection of like your DJing yourself, but then you're also like maybe bridging the gap between old school and new school because like the older DJs are coming in for vinyl or even just gear or whatever. I'm sure you got to like have a lot of cool conversations with a wide range of people.
1,000%. And I also experienced a lot of sexism. Like it was crazy. Like when Luisa and I would be working and it would just be like us, you have no idea, there would be like unspoken like you know, is there anybody else working here? Like they didn't want to take like gear advice from two chicks. So it was like it was a blessing to be where I was, but it was also like a lot of like real like it was like microaggressions, you know what I mean? It's like nope, Luis and I were like we're the only ones working and our vaginas did not eat our knowledge. We know all about this stuff.
Hearing those stories from you, I'm so sorry. And I also deeply understand that exact feeling. It's pretty maddening. I love that you use your platform for change in such an important way. In 2021, you added an inclusivity rider to your contracts to make sure minority groups are represented on lineups. And it's just like such a bold and inspiring move. And have you seen the ripple effect of that? Or how did that work in practice?
I got to tell you, that happened because I was home. I think I wasn't going to Miami Music Week that year. But anyway, it was right around the time when Miami lineups were being announced. You know what I'm saying? Like when they get announced, like January for March kind of deal. And I was seeing like all these like straight white cis men lineups. And I'm like, what? Like at this point, it's intentional.
Make it make sense.
Yeah. At this point, it's intentional if you're not having a woman on your lineup. It's intentional if you're not having a black person on your lineup. It's intentional if you're not having a member of the LGBTQ plus on your lineup. So like I got really upset. I was just pissed. And so I introduced this inclusivity rider, and it's never been an issue, thank God. In every single contract of mine, it is in there. And it kind of like inspires promoters like, oh, hey, wait, I need to think about who I'm putting on my lineup, you know? And it just happens, you know? And I made it really inclusive. So I'm like, just put one of those marginalized community. Just one. Like, I'm cool. It could be a girl. It could be whatever. Like, just do it. And I'm really grateful to listen. I have not experienced pushback from promoters. However, when I did announce that, I got a few keyboard warriors like, well, what about talent? You know, like, why should we not be included? I'm like, I kind of unintentionally made a Trump voice. As I was, and that was so not intentional. But like I got some people like hitting me up like in my DMs and in comments like, oh, people should be booked because they're good at it, you know? And I'm like,
yeah, like we can't find anybody who is a part of any one of those groups who isn't objectively good.
Yeah.
It's hello.
Crazy. It's crazy.
Well, thank you for doing that.
Everybody.
I think it's really important to like kind of stand up for people that aren't often stood up for.
But also at the end of the day, you're standing up for the culture, because our culture came from disco, which came from black
queer
people.
Yes, period. My mom was a Studio 54 regular, and she is totally a lesbian, so it's like like yes. Shout out to my mom. I just need to sneak her in somehow.
Talk more about her, please.
She was really fabulous. She still is fabulous though. Yeah.
Well, I love how passionate you are about so many things that are so important to you. Something else that you're passionate about is wellness. Mikey has a question that can kind of be a good segue here about yoga.
Yeah, well, we heard that the doctors told you that yoga saved your life because you may have dived into a pool in Ibiza. I don't know if it was encouraged or discouraged to dive into the pool. Historically, maybe not, but we've all done it.
There's a song that goes, dive into the pool. Let's get soaking wet. Anyway, sorry.
It sounds like a banger.
Yeah, it's amazing.
But yeah, share with us a little bit about what that practice means to you. And then I really do want to hear about the Mary Droppins DJ'd yoga session that I missed on Friendship.
So it's so interesting. First of all, shout out to you guys for being like really well research. You're coming through with the cuts. I have a dance background. I used to dance at bar mitzvahs. I was a party motivator. I was a cheerleader, you know, had a dance minor in college, and yoga was always like a supplemental thing to my dance career or my party motivator career, because I actually was killing it dancing at bar mitzvahs. It's a whole other story. But I always wanted to be more limber and more flexible and, you know, not cramped up and all the things. But I was in Ibiza and I dove into a pool right after teaching yoga. But the part that I don't often talk about is my bikini top like fell off, and I did this. So I like crossed my arms in front of my heart, in case you're just listening to the audio, and I torpedoed to the bottom of the pool.
And what happened was I had just done like a really long headstand. So the muscles in my neck were warmed up. I was more flexible. So it wasn't as bad as it would have been had I not had done this yoga. And also shout out to my mom and dad. They're both chiropractors. And it's like, so
what can't mom do?
Yeah. So my mom and dad, both chiropractors. It's a total like any parent's nightmare, but a chiropractor's like child, you know, that's like a really big deal for me to have like a neck injury. And so basically I just had like a mild subluxation. It hurt like crazy. Like, don't get me wrong, I was in a neck brace. It was like really bad, but I was like, yo, yoga kind of saved my life. Like, I really want to get certified. I really want to share this practice with the world. And then when I was getting my certification, I got really into the mental aspect. Yeah, I got certified and I never looked back. It was kind of surreal that one of my first yoga classes was for like 75 people on Holy Ship, which was what Friendship used to be, kind of deal. I felt like, okay, I'm doing the right thing. And so I really was like, really wanted to create like a safe space at festivals, at raves, a place where people can gather to like discover yoga through me. Like a lot of times promoters would open up the club with yoga before doors happened. And so like a lot of people, like, oh, I'm going to come see you DJ. Wait, I want to do yoga with you. So like people were getting introduced to this lifestyle. And I would say like a mindfulness practice that they might not have known about before because they were into dance music. So I'm all about like just bridging that gap in any way I can.
It's so dope, dude. When we went to Electric Forest last year, Frenchie and I went to the yoga at Tripoli. It was beautiful out. And the instructor,
Hannah Muse.
There we are.
Hannah Muse. There you go. And it was one of the most spiritual, like,
moving
30 minutes.
Amazing.
I've ever had.
Incredible. We both cried.
Oh, yeah. And so did our friend Sam. He cried too, but he wasn't with us, he was somewhere else in the crowd. But after we met up and yeah, we were all so emotional about it.
Highly recommend, because like you're already so open-hearted, like being at a festival doing what you love, adding yoga to the mix just makes it so much better. Like I'm going to like stretch. I'm going to get into my body. I'm going to breathe. I'm going to remember who I am. And I got to tell you, a lot of times people have come to our workshops at festivals that really needed like some support. Sometimes when we're in like a big festival and it's like a crowd of people, you forget that like your breath is inside of you. And that is like one of the most powerful things to remind people of.
1000%.
Do you do yoga with your family?
Yes, I do. Well, my 11-year-old is kind of like in the place where she's like too cool to do yoga with me at the moment. But I don't think that's going to be for long because she's awesome. But there was a time where she would come with me to like all of my classes. My 2-year-old, my 2.5-year-old is like a little bit too destructive at the moment to go to a yoga class. We would do these things called love nights at my house where we'd like light candles and set up yoga mats and bolsters, just listen to like spiritual music. And it was just really, really wonderful. We got to do that. You know who I'm talking to. We got to do more of that.
Happy birthday, Tim. And we have to do that. And also, why are the pyramids located where they're located?
I don't even know if that's a real conspiracy theory. I just made that up.
I mean,
but great callback.
The pyramid location is crazy precise. If, Tim, I'll get into it with you. It is fascinating.
I can't.
Well, something we admire so much about you is how you've navigated motherhood alongside your career. With your first pregnancy, you mentioned that you set a goal to make as much music as possible before the baby came. And then with your second, you allowed yourself to slow down a bit and just enjoy it. So how has being a mother shaped who you are as a musician?
Oh my gosh. Well, this is a loaded question. It's definitely harder. When Alma was a little bit younger, it was easier to like sit down and make music. Now it's become a little harder because anytime I have a laptop out, she's like smacking the keyboard. It is really cool to be able to like car test the tracks I'm making with both of my kids in the car. I did this remix that I don't even know is going to come out. I don't know if I can name it, but it was so funny. I played it for one of my daughters and for Evelina, my older daughter, and she was like, I don't like this. I was like, oh my God, it's actually really fabulous. It's amazing. She was like real honest. But then as I like, you know, finished the track, she's like, actually, this is pretty cool. I'm like, thanks. So anyway, it's cool to like be able to share my musical like creative process with them, number one. But also it's really cool to be able to bring them with me because like at the end of the day, like I'm DJing at night when they're asleep. Most of the time, unless it's like a daytime festival or whatever. And so it becomes like a little family vacation. Like I was just in Saratoga last weekend and we like totally raved in the freaking Six Flags Hotel Lodge. There's like full blown water park attached to the hotel. And that was like 20 minutes from the venue. I'm like, okay, this is where we're staying. And we brought the kids. We were at the water slide all day. I feel like my eyes are still burning from the chlorine, but it's like, I get to bring them when it's like, and sometimes we fly, like for Off the Grid Camp Out this year in Apple Valley, California, we're going to bring both of the kids. We brought Alma twice already, and this time we're going to bring both kids, which I'm really, really excited about because there's like going to be a kids area and stuff like that. So I'm so stoked that I get to share it with them. That's like the biggest thing for me, sharing.
Yay.
Sharing is caring, girls.
Well, we're so stoked to get to share this evening with you, Gina. Thanks so much for spending some time with us and our listeners. And this has been so fun.
Yes, I want to come back.
Okay.
You're welcome anytime. Also, we have to have Tim on.
Oh, totally. He'll talk about some wild stuff. Shout out to Tim. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Tim.
Well, how about we play one of your other babies?
This is a fun one. One of the most iconic record labels in New York City, Nervous Records. I have like 3 releases on Nervous, and this is one of them. Shout out to Tony Quattro. I love this track. It is like the housier side of things. It's just like, it's a banger.
Banger.
It's called Top Cat. And to our top cat, Gina Turner, where can people follow you on the socials and anywhere else?
So I'm at DJ Gina Turner everywhere. I think I might be something else on TikTok, but I barely use TikTok. I'm like a grandma. GinaTurner.com with a hyphen in between Gina and Turner, or DJGinaTurner.com. Just follow me on Instagram. I reply to everybody. I love that.
Shit, damn, you got me stuck.
I can't help eating the popcorn when the music starts. Whoa, it's like instant. Wow. I'm like, oh, popcorn break.
You can't dance without popcorn.
Look at all those chickens. I'm just noticing that sticker.
That's what Frenchie's going to have on her USB.
Perfect.
Look at all these chickens.
That's the one. Oh my gosh, thank you so much again for joining us tonight. This has been so much fun, and thank you for showing up so authentically.
Aw, thanks for having me, guys. I feel really comfy and cozy with you.
I think it worked out that we had to come here instead of going to a podcast studio. I know you were like, you should do this.
100%. I was like, I'll just come over to your house. That's what I said to you.
Big night out. All right, let's do it. Last one. We've talked about Artsy Choke a few times here.
This is a very special one.
Special preview.
I've made like 3 tracks. Oh my gosh, I'm spitting popcorn. I've made 3 tracks with Artsy Choke, and this is a new one that's coming out October 10th. So you guys are hearing it here first before anybody else.
World premiere.
I'm a fan of Artsy Choke, pretty much everything that we've heard today.
So this is funny. This is my voice and mostly her productions. And then like, actually she sang a little bit. She sang some like background vocals. You'll hear like, ah. It's funny. So we like flip-flopped with the collabs. Like I produced Cigarettes and used her vocals. And then we did this and went back and forth a little bit digitally. It was cool. She's also an amazing producer.
They do it all. Come on, 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 come on
didn't really get lost in that.
I have popcorn in my hand.
Is that reverb or echo?
I think that might be reverb.
It's sick.
All right, Aarons, let's give the people the info they need to know. We're at Plurality Pod on all channels. We do shout outs, Gina, every episode for Barbara Streisand, one.
Alley Cat, number two.
Whipped Cream, number three.
Andrew Lux's Roomba, number four.
She's got the hat.
Oh, let's go, Jets.
Go, Pats. Sorry, I have to say. Yeah, go, Patriots.
You guys had your time.
And we're back. We're so back. Just get ready.
Okay. We're division rivals.
We're rivals. We're big rivals.
Yeah, we're rivals.
With varying degrees of success.
But I will say that I was full-blown Bills Mafia after last season's debauchery with the Jets. Like, I was like, all right, I'm just going to root for the other New York team. We should have had a Bills Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm, I agree. Very anti-Kansas City Chiefs. That was terrible.
Anyone but the Chiefs.
Anyone
but the Chiefs. I couldn't even believe I was rooting for the Eagles.
We can talk
about football another time.
It was terrible to root for the Eagles.
I hate the Eagles. But I also, Saquon Barkley is pretty cool.
And watching the Chiefs get absolutely smacked was pretty nice.
Totally. I think the thing is, Tim is a Giants fan. We're house divided. You know, like, I was pretty salty about Saquon going to the Eagles. Anyway, this is not a football.
All right, I have one bonus question to finish this off.
Yep.
I saw a tweet that Louisa said about J.C. Chazé's approaching her. J.C. Chazé. People know I can't pronounce names on this show if you listen to any of our episodes. J.C. Chazé. J.C. Chazé. In the early 2000s, he was going to make a reality TV show about women DJs?
Female DJs. And he wanted me and Louisa to be on the show. And so I was like, yeah, come to Louisa's studio. We'll be there after, you know, around this time. And he thought he was showing up to a recording studio. And so he's all stoked. And it was literally her small studio apartment. Like, and the next thing you know, you could see on his face, he's like, oh, this is what you meant by studio. Like, and he was like in the studio with me and Louisa in the studio apartment, really, really small. Shout out to JC and Louisa. But yeah, that almost happened. It didn't happen.
Wow.
In sync, y'all.
I'm going to say peace, love, and popcorn.
Yep.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Wait, why are you a Pats fan? Where are you from?
I grew up in Florida, but my dad grew up in Mass, so I just got raised.
Okay.
All the Boston teams.
I lived in Boston for 5 years.
I know. Where did you live?
I lived on Beacon and Gloucester.
Mm-hmm.
I lived near Boston Common, above the Blue Man Group.
Yeah, I lived in Brighton for 7 years, so...
Oh.
I used to work for the hockey team there, so...
Amazing. I love Boston. I want to go back to Boston.
Shout out to Emerson College.
Yes, Emerson College.
I have some buddies who went there. Go Lions.
Yes, Emerson Lions! So well researched.
Ah, thank you so much. We love what we do. We love talking to cool people, so we appreciate you being here so much. And to all of our listeners, we love you so much. To our Player Bees.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you, guys.
Love you, Player Bees. Till next time.
Till next time.
Ciao, ciao.
Peace out, y'all.